Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, 10 miles outside of the state of the new Freedom Tower, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Sit back, relax. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. You can pray with your eyes open. Remember that.
All right.
Be encouraged this morning. We have good news for you. Good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Good morning. Well, here we are. It is Tuesday morning, and we are so glad to be able to join you this morning. So how was your night last night, Pat?
It was good. Got a lot of work done.
You are a working man.
I am a working man.
You are a working man. So how was your night last night, John? Oh, it was? Oh, my goodness. Well, in that, I want to say this. John, how was your night last night?
It was good. Very good.
It was? Was that?
Are you sure?
Is that it?
It was a long, long day. I actually went to bed and I was a little tired. Did a little researching and talked to a couple of my friends on Facebook. And man, then I hit the hay. I was tired.
Dude, the hay. Things are getting rough, aren't they?
Yeah, you know it is.
I hit the memory foam. You know what I'm saying? I hit the memory foam.
Oh, memory foam. Ooh, luxury.
Yeah, you just lay on it and try not to remember. Boosh, you just out cold. You know what I'm saying? It's like down in Florida, it's like a big, thick winter Alaskan jacket. You know,
yeah,
it's not good. It's not good to have something like that that you know works off the heat of your human body. You need something like an ice cube, I think, to be able to lay on in the Florida area. So, my goodness, we have so much to talk about today. You know, so many things are happening in the world. We hope we're going to get a chance to be able to share, you know, God's news behind the news and what's happening. One thing is I do want to say to the VFN family is that the annual VFN family gathering is coming up August 3rd through the 5th. August 3rd through the 5th. It's just exciting for all of us to come together. I encourage you and all your churches in the city that y'all join together in unity and just a time of celebration and worship. And, of course, our focus last year was on, you know, God's perspective of Israel. So we're beginning to seek God's perspective of Israel. And you see today, you know, what's happening. We see what's happening in Israel. We see Syria about to lose its leadership. They're discussing the use of chemical weapons, and they're the largest stockpiler of chemical weapons in the world. And not only that, Hezbollah is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, by the way. They're connected. They always talk about them as they're separate. Our intelligent media, our media. Our media talks about Hezbollah like it's actually something totally different and just this entity out there, but it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like saying a prostitute is an entity all unto themselves and nothing happens that gives them finances that keeps them on the streets and that type of thing. It says, no, they're not an entity. Somebody's giving her or him, giving them finances and feeding into that particular situation that's bringing destruction to them or someone else. And so you got to talk about the John and the prostitute at the same time. You got to talk about both of them. Well, in the context of that, Which, by the way, if you're listening and that's you, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And you cry out to God right now, and believe me, God will forgive you, because the very one that anointed his feet in the midst of all the religious folk who thought they had Jesus totally figured out, we're still talking about her today. Her name is Mary. And they thought, who is, he's not even a prophet. He calls Jesus, he don't even know this is a prostitute that is anointing his feet with the alabaster box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're just missing it. You're mm-hmm. missing
that's
it.
That's right.
You know, and of course, he said, this will be told and to remember her. So I'll encourage you, but I'm just saying in the context of saying, you know, how does these prostituted people, you know, right. Isbelah, how do they stay in power? Who is their, quote, John, unquote? You know, who is their one that's, it's Iran. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. Right. They've separated themselves enough where it's not obvious. But that's where their power is coming from. This is who, you know, our American leaders are helping be empowered. And not only are we helping them, you know, get in the places of power, but we're erasing our notes and how we did it, and that there are enemies in the FBI's library and all.
That's right.
But and what Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, said on Fox Sunday, Fox News Sunday, which, by the way, I just realized, I mean, it just dawned yes. on me, that there's a news channel called, no, there is, I'll have to come back to me, but I realized somebody was somebody's son and I never did connect the two. I'll have to come back to him in a minute. I may realize it again tomorrow.
All right.
I may have known this once, I don't know. But I found out forgetting is a gift, really, you know what I'm saying? And so, with that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, he was on the newscast and he was talking about, you know, Syria and its leaders. And he said it's pretty much set for the fact that it's going to go down. You know, it's going to be exchanged. But he don't know. His concern is, you know, is there going to be a transition of power, a proper transition of power, whoever it's going to be? He has no problem with it being somebody else. But his concern mm-hmm. is will it be stable or not? And, of course, when you look at Syria, if you understand Syria, it's on the top of Israel. It's like the northern borders of Israel. And you have Lebanon there, but in there you have Hezbollah. Hezbollah is right there stationed at the northern parts of Israel. And his concern is that if Hezbollah gets these chemical weapons, gets their hands on them.
That's right.
You know, they're going to launch them as terrorists around the world. I mean, the last thing you want to do is Al-Qaeda. It's like Al-Qaeda having chemical weapons and launching them on Israel. And, of course, Israel is going to have...
I say what's interesting about that too is you're talking about that is that, you know, Israel and these countries, it's not like there's a huge distance away. You know, I know you've been to Israel, I've been to Israel, the Golan Heights. I mean, you can literally peer right into Israel. You can throw stuff with your hands into Israel from the other borders. And so it's important that Israel is able to defend, you know, herself against this. And the idea is, who, you know, can you secure these? I know just recently, the regime, Assad's regime, had mentioned that they had the chemical weapons in a secure location. We're like, yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You're about to go down. You're about to leave here any day now.
Right. Yeah, the they just say not again. That's what they say, not again. Israel's that's their theme, not again. And so when a man says not again, for example, say there's an escaped prisoner, mm-hmm. an escaped prisoner has been in prison, and he says, I'll never go again. But so then he... Well, you escaped,
mm-hmm.
so you're still a criminal. Right. But he's going to go down to his death. He's not going to go back into the prison again.
That's right.
He'd rather go down where he is than go back into that confinement again. And Israel is not a prisoner. You know, they're the chosen people of the Lord, you know, and the apple of God's eye. But they were held captive. They were in prison. They were in camps. They were you know, murdered, and it's been horrific, the things that have happened to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people. And, you know, we've been to the Holocaust Museum in New York and in Washington, D.C., and there's also one in Israel. Mm-hmm. And remembering when, you know, remembering what, and the only way the enemy can defeat you is to get you to forget.
Right,
you know, your history, forget you to forget how you got here, and it doesn't just happen. You know, one thing that we do, we always document how we got here, because it gets really confusing sometimes. You got to go back and go, oh, that's right. Yeah, there was ovens there that were burning us, and we can't do that again. And so with that, you know, Israel will retaliate. They'll immediately, if they sense, if there's an unction, if there's a probability that these chemical weapons get into the wrong hands, if it doesn't look, they're watching everything. Israel's not waiting to see if a bomb gets launched over its border. Hmm. They're actually probably know the thoughts that are going on behind the ones who are thinking about possessing the weapons. And we have some stories about that. As a matter of fact, there was one particular time that they took over. There was they're shooting missiles into, lots of missiles into northern Israel. I believe it was from Lebanon. And what they did is Israel just took over all their security cameras. They duplicated the videos that were on there, so they were playing the same thing over and over again while their security people in Lebanon were watching these same monitors. At the same time, Israel was removing those facilities from the face of the earth. And so they didn't know till the next day that all those facilities were gone, because they kept watching some video over and over again thinking that was a security video camera right on that particular place. Oh, wow. I mean, Israel knows what they're doing.
Wow.
I'm going to ask Iran, right? Here they are. It's like, where do these viruses come from? You know, I don't know, what's a virus control program?
The filters on?
Yeah, what's this?
Like AVG?
Malware?
Malware, or what's the most, the one that comes AVG? On a computer? No, not the one that comes on computers.
McAfee.
I'm sure.
Oh, Norton.
Yeah, Norton and McAfee. Yeah. But I'm sure the president of Iran's going like, this McAfee thing is just not working for us. You know, we're trying to build a nuclear bomb here.
We got to call Microsoft.
Yeah, you know, I was just chatting with the president of Northern Korea on the can and the string phone, because, you know, they're not up in there.
He's like 12.
He's like 12. And now he's over the military, and they placed him over the military.
Crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. And you know, they know what's going on. The thing is that, you know, you just can't sit back. Now, America, right now, in contrast, we're not only sitting back, we're just opening ourselves up and say, hey, come and get it. You want a missile? Mm. You want weapons? You want our Constitution? You want, you know, our president, when he was being sworn in, do you remember that? When he was being sworn in, you know, and to be swear an oath to defend, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Right. That he said that and Judge Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, said it the wrong way, and the president repeated it the wrong way. But it seems like maybe that was prophetic, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm.
Y'all remember what he said?
Not verbatim.
I promise to execute the office of the presidency of the United States.
Oh, that's right.
And it seems to be being dismantled, doesn't it?
Sure is.
Wow.
And that's just
execute.
Total. Mm. Execute. And they had to go. They went back and retook it in a private place.
In the Oval Office, I believe.
Yeah, in the Oval Office. So whatever happened, whatever allegiance and whoever he swore by in the Oval Office outside the eyes of the world, you know, what he said publicly was that I will execute it. Only the Lord knows what was said.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So here we are today. Which means if Israel retaliates, and Israel's surrounded. You know that, guys, right? He's surrounded. They're surrounded. Everybody around them over there is wanting to destroy them. Our president appears to be participating in the process, kind of egging it on, empowering Muslim Brotherhood around them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he's saying one thing, which is cool what he's saying, but what he's doing is undoing what he's saying. And with that, the church has to realize, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And I can sense in my spirit, I just know. And look at your news and pay attention to the Middle East and see the trembling cup that's surrounding Israel, and how at any moment, if they got their way, and they're not going to get their way, but if they got their way, they would destroy Israel and push them and see. Realize that's you if you're the church. That's what's going to happen. If we sit back and don't pray for Israel and don't stand for Israel, the church will suffer severe, you know, persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And right now, where Islamic Spring, the Arab Spring.
Right.
It's not Islamic Spring, but right. It pretty much is.
Right.
Is experiencing, no, the, here it is, here it is. The Arab Spring is experiencing an Islamic summer. Because it's getting hot.
Yeah,
and right. The Christians now are being pushed out. They're being kidnapped, the Coptic Christians. They're going in there kidnapping the women and forcing them into to accept Islam. Mm. I mean, it's a totally different thing with a Christian. A Christian who knows God and loves God, they present to you the gospel and they give you a chance to know what's true, what's right, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you understand that He loves you and has a plan for your life, and He will forgive your sin. You know, if you say no, God just moves on. He doesn't put a sword at your throat. Mm-hmm. He doesn't kidnap you. He doesn't bring you into an interrogated room and tell you if you don't, it's just like, no, that's what you want. You just rejected me. You know, I wish that you wouldn't. That's not what I want for you. And if anytime you choose to accept me, I'm going to receive you. But Jesus said, you know, He presented the truth. He presented Himself, and then He moved on.
That's right.
Well, Islam right now that we've helped empower Islam and the Arab countries, and that's what's happening in Syria right now. You're looking at the Muslim Brotherhood. You watch. You know, there ain't nobody in the Muslim Brotherhood going to give up in their power. They waited 100 years to be where they are, because when the Muslim Brotherhood was formed right at 100 years ago, when the Ottoman Empire and all the things that was going on, the British colonists, you know, the British came in and began to divide up the land, and that's why they hate what Britain stands for and what America stands for, because they colonized all those different,
right.
They cut it all up in like a pizza pie and said, okay, this is yours. And so these leaders today, the reason why they don't mind taking them out, that's what they're doing, is because they feel like that their land got cut up and given to them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then they think in the very same thing, because that was the time that Israel got their land back, you know. And so that's their thinking. They, just like, you know, Libya's president, the president of Libya, they thought that he had a piece of the pie. They think King Jordan's got a piece of the pie, the King of Jordan. Assyria's a piece of the pie. And so it's all theirs.
So they want to get it back.
They want to get it back. And so it's just not going to be good for the church. We can't sit by and watch, you know, what's happening to Israel and think it's not going to. I can feel it. If you are sensitive to the Spirit of God and you're hearing what the Lord is saying, that this is about to happen worldwide. This is a world shifting that's taking place right now. It's an entire shift. Johnny Foote, and you can find this out on The Torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to VFNTV.com, and that's where we have our articles and things about the VFN radio program, VFN TV. It's VFNTV.com, and go to The Torch. That Johnny Foote, you know, God spoke to him. He's a prophet, and God spoke to him and told him that we'll be shifting to the beast economy. You know, and you know, it's nobody ever wants to be a part of that generation. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you're just like, no, that's was. Let me check my Franklin out. No, that wasn't part of my plan. I'm looking at my calendar. No, I don't want to be a part of that generation. But the truth is this: that God saw it in His wisdom and His omnipotence and his design and His unfolding of all these things, and it's not catching Him by surprise. He chose for you to be a part of this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He chose that He believed that you could stand up and trust Him in the midst of great difficulty and times that test men's souls. And this is not an American issue now. This is a worldwide issue. And after this break in a moment, I want to talk to you about some of the things that are happening in the world, and realize that, you know, we rise up that as the church, not to physically conquer anything, but we rise up to be able to fight for men's hearts, to be able to win them to the Lord. You know, we fear not, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we fear not our lives unto death. Death's not an issue for a believer. Death is an issue for an unbeliever. That's how you know. That's when the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
When the rubber hits the road, when it comes time when somebody gets a pronunciation of death,
mm-hmm.
that's when you find out they're a believer or not. You know what I'm saying?
So
like,
true.
It's like, what are you worried about? You want to make more mortgage payments? You want to go? You want to have another stupid political campaign like this again? What is it? What is it? What do you want? You think, you know, you know, what are you serious? You're going to go be with the father, you know, in a few moments or 6 months or whatever you know, it's happening. And you're upset about that.
Right.
I mean, come on. If you're a believer, we don't fear death.
That's right.
No, how we die.
Yeah, that's another thing.
How we die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I have a little concern about that. We don't want
whatever
that to happen.
Whatever you do it quickly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Whatever you do it quickly.
Do it quickly. We'll be right back. You know, it's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets. But it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like, they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally five, you know, I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, "You're still preaching the gospel?" Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we're not going to, we want to do everything we can for him because he laid down his life for us. And we'll spend eternity pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, "You haven't changed. You haven't changed." It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple. Okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, "You know something? This has been good.
No.
It's been good. But there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that."
Listen, you know, religion is hard. But like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, "I'm not going to do anything." It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that. But you can just love people and love God and lead others to the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, "Hey, I'm just rest on what I've done," or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life, you are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us or another network, maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNFamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNFamily.org. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN radio and VFN TV, but we even have more available for them, you know, and what it is you're able to, when you subscribe for free, you go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com, and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. Is just everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber. Really? We had a wonderful, it was the first hour, and we got a chance to mention the exciting, wonderful announcement that we were looking for a name for the VFN TV blog, because it is not a blog. It is so much more. It is a light. It is in a continued conversation with our listeners. It's a way to get the facts on what we're talking about. It's a way for you to do a research. It's a way for you to share with your friends. It is so much more than a blog. Guess what? The name has come in. Thank you for all those that participated in coming up with the name. It is here. You ready? This is the name. This is the name. This is totally going to replace the VFN TV blog. Thank you, Lord. And here comes the name. Here it goes. Lean forward. Here it comes. The VFN Torch. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's awesome. So beautiful because that's like Gideon's army. Yeah. You know, Gideon had, what, torches and swords and, you know, and they weren't going to use them in the context of the beginning of that. They were just going to shine them. And when the big bright light came, it just confused the enemy. And God, they brought the light and God's plan on that situation. And the enemy turned on themselves. The torch, the VFN torch. I am very excited about it. So you can find out. You got to take a look at it. Because whoever designed this, whoever the person was that put all the skill and the talent and the energy and the creativity. I mean, it has to be. Something that God has given them to be able to do this. Because you know what I'm saying?
Listen, I've seen it. I've looked at it. It looks good.
Isn't it?
Professional, sharp, crisp. It's good.
Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, everything we've been talking about, with over 10,000 viewers and listeners to the VFN TV and Daily Radio program, you can participate and join in at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. You got to see it. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. The torch is beautiful. Done a wonderful job. You got to check this thing out. We're going to be talking about a story in just a moment on there. But first, I want to talk about the top. We're going to do top three because top five is taking a lot of our time. We want to be able to get to it. Of course, there's over 10,000, almost 11,000 encounters right now with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. And we just look at what are the top five or top three now. What are you looking at? What are you reading? And still on the very top is, as you're interested in, you know, Islam and how it's being the number one is, Islam infiltrates the U.S. government. And it's Michelle Bachmann. It's an interview with Michelle Bachmann on GBTV and some other information to be able to help you understand that it's not just an Arab Spring. There's an American, winter coming, you know, and they're preparing for it. They're preparing for it. And on July 27th, there's going to be a release of a movie coming up. And I may have talked about it this week or not, but it's called like Stand Up for the Revolution or Step Up the Revolution. And it looks like some, you know, minor thing, some typical thing. But what it is, it's organizers. It's organizers trying to get young people, you know, on the streets, to dance in all the banks and do all this different stuff to interrupt the flow of economy. That's the goal of it. Wow. The flow of natural economy. Mm-hmm. And something's happening on the 27th, I think is very interesting too. That is the day the United Nations signs the treaty, which comes in and begins to try to control against the Second Amendment that we talked about. If you did not get yesterday's segment that we've talked about on the Second Amendment, you need to get it. You want to understand the Constitution that they're wanting to replace or infringe. The word is infringe. They cannot infringe on our Second Amendment rights. It's like two things you shouldn't be talking about as a government. God, how we worship God. You can talk about God, but you shouldn't talk about how we're worshiping God, how we do it.
Right.
And don't even bring out your little rule maker, because you can't make no rules or laws concerning the church. Next thing you can't do, and this is First Amendment, is be concerned about us coming together ever how we want to come together, you know, stadiums or coffee shops, you know, whatever we want to do. And then we have the right to bear and possess arms and to even gather a militia, which is like an unofficial army, to be able to assure the Constitution is upheld and that we don't lose our rights. It's for freedom. And it's not just for going out and hunting, which, you know, most people hunt at McDonald's now. They don't even know where that comes from. We farm animals, you know, we farm the stuff. But number one is still Islam infiltrates U.S. government. You got to check it out. It's number one on The Torch. You get The Torch at VFN TV Dickie.com. The second one is Dickie, you know? Yeah, okay. he is talking about the articles, talking about him, how he sharing it's how he worships the Lord on the Mount. R.A. Dickie, you got to check that one out. It's so cool, you know, because he talks about in it how his how every time he talks about God, that's the part that the media edits out. And it's everything. He does his job well, and he attributes it to God. So you got to check it out. It's number two. Number three is about how the evidence of the shooter in Aurora, Colorado, that the evidence points that he's been plotting this out for quite some time. It's not, you know, you think about this. Israel knows that there's a stockpile of chemical weapons in Syria. We know if there's dust on the moon. We know, you know, where people's telephones are. For some reason, our government didn't know this guy was stockpiling all these weapons when they're tracking every movement right now of every American. And it just makes you wonder. You got to hear that, because I talk about Eric Holder, the attorney general, how he was participating in a whole system of getting guns in the hands of criminals in Mexico. And one of our agents got killed by the very gun that Eric Holder, through his permission and allotment, allowed to put those guns in their hands. At the same time, when they're coming north, coming up into the America, Eric Holder, the head law enforcement officer chosen by the president of the United States, who've been friends for years, you know, and they're saying they're not going to enforce the laws that says criminals with guns can't come. You know, it's like, what are you doing? You know, and they define it as, we will help you out in this part of the federal law, but we won't. And the whole purpose of the president is to be able to enforce the federal laws. And then the attorney general is supposed to be the legal arm of that, the head law enforcement officer. And both of them are saying, hey, we're just going to do the bad guys. And the whole thing is, like, define that. You're empowering the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. What is a bad guy to you? And it looks like a bad guy is a Christian. A bad guy is somebody who stands up for the Constitution. You know, right now, based on what we're seeing, a bad guy is somebody who says Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to God, and that we need to keep our country how our founding fathers established it. Yeah, there's horrific and atrocious things that happen in the history of America, but because of the Constitution, we were able as a people to stand up and make vote at the polls and change bad leadership to good leadership. Right. And now it looks like, you know, we can go the other direction if we don't wake up. And vote for people who stand for our rights, you know, for issues. I can't tell you specifically, you know, who to vote for at this moment, and I won't. But understand this: to just find out who they are, abide with God. You know, the elections are here coming up. Spend time with God, abiding with Him. If you don't know how to abide with God, go to iabide.org. Spend time with God for a couple of weeks, you know, and just soaking in Him. And praying, who do you want me to choose for a leader, from my school board to my president? But then go meet them, talk to them, and find out. Don't just, you know, the last second, you know, you throw down your Slurpee and run out in the streets. Hey, I got to go vote. Who are you going to vote for? And somebody goes, I'm going to vote for ABC. And you don't realize they just threw down their Slurpee yesterday and asked somebody. I mean, there's some, you know, you got to get involved in the process. That's what a republic is. You got to get involved. You know, we deserve the government that we choose, because we choose the government.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It looks like, you know, we're suffering the consequences for what we chose, even though we deny the fact that we chose this government. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't choose it. Well, you are, you know, it is bad for you, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, with that, the top three, you got to check it out. That's The Torch. You get to The Torch at VFNTV.com. I want to talk about, before we get to the wisdom moment, is it's on The Torch. It's the top 10 things you probably don't know about Google. It's the top 10 things you probably don't know about Google. You got to check this out. But the biggest thing that stands out of all the things, you know, we knew when we made this decision, you know, some time back, in the direction where we're launching, you know, VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program to the world. You know, now we're reaching all the way to Africa and to Japan and all over America and just all over. And we're not blind in what we've done. I mean, we know what we're doing.
Right.
And because all this technology is leading to one thing, it's leading to being able to track and have an economy that can be managed worldwide. and a tracking system that could be managed worldwide. What we are doing is we're reaching you in this. We're saying, listen, we want to save a few. We want to be able to reach out in the midst of all of this and use the technology to be able to bring and encourage you as long as we can actually do it. We don't know how long, you know, if you read prophetically, if you read the future and what's taking place. I mean, it's given at some point this kind of freedom that we have at this moment to be able to do what we're doing, you know, might not be available to us at that particular time, because you'll notice that, you know, they start ruling out, pulling God's name off of everything, God's commandments down. They start the acknowledgement of God, they pull it down. And in Europe right now, they have some organizations that are, organizations, church organizations that are telling people, do not put signs up that says God is a healer. I mean, all the way to the point now, even his attributes of God, that God's a healer.
Wow.
And what the devil's wanting to do, what the enemy's wanting to do through those who he has captured to do his will, who he's probably offended in some way and has captive, is to just anything, any acknowledgement whatsoever about God, which shows you, by the way, how awesome God is, that he has to work that hard, hard to deny the very God that's giving you breath. You know, and it's like, relax. If he wasn't real, you wouldn't have to worry about nothing. But the fact he's real, you're creating all this havoc and stuff. God, I mean, the very fact Israel exists, it's only 60 miles wide at its widest point, and you can't take it out. That's why you can't take it out. It just shows how awesome God is. God uses the little things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And why the name of Jesus? I mean, of all names, why does that name, why does that name invoke so much?
Because it's the name above every name, man.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that something? I mean, no one says, oh, Muhammad.
No.
But why would you want to take the Lord's name in vain? It's just, I mean, it's the power in that name and come against it. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready about even how it's acceptable that politicians now are, you know, they want to know their religious beliefs, they believe in God, and even the media tends to ignore it and not give too much attention to it. But as soon as a believer in everyday life begins to not only proclaim Jesus, but live for him and do what Jesus called them to do, then all of a sudden they're persecuted, they're attacked. It's like, wait a minute, this is such a double standard. You know, let's get real.
Right. And, this, and you know, and it just the very fact, you know, we're called, by the way, this is somebody says, what's your calling? I'm called to be a singer where I belt out tones that cause people to admire me. And somebody says, you know, what's your calling? Oh, my calling is to prophesy. I tell people about the future, what's going to happen in their life, and they really run to me. And some people say, you know, well, what's your calling? Well, my calling is to be an orator. I bring in rhymes and nice words and enticing things that just cause people to appreciate me. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that, now listen, I'm only drawn into me because I'm drawn to the Lord. But our calling is this. This is our calling. Our calling is to suffer for doing good.
Mm. All right.
We're to do good and be told we're doing bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, this is commendable. This is commendable. Mm. We got to get this. Right? Didn't Peter say this? He said, listen.
Yes, he did.
He said, listen. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go out there and you're going to do good. Do really, really good.
Right.
And then they're going to tell you you're really, really bad. And you're going to respond really, really right.
Right.
Not to be in defending yourself.
Right.
And the Lord's going to go, this is commendable. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
And then you're going to do this over and over and over again. And finally, church, finally you're moving in your calling. Your calling is not to get a popular vote with men. Your calling is to be unpopular with the world and popular in heaven.
That's right.
That's your call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to win the popularity with men, once you've won it with men, you've lost it with God. I mean, you think about this. You think about this, that the gospel that's being preached today in some areas of America is the fact that, you know, when you look at Jesus's ministry, when he's just awesome and he's walking on the face of the earth. And, you know, once his glory was revealed at the wedding and he turned the water into wine, not just wine, but the best wine. Mm. That he just began to heal and deliver and all these things were happening. And he gets to a certain point, you know, that and he had the Pharisees that were coming against him. He had the Sadducees coming against him. And they you know, the reason why they're called Sadducees because they're sad, you see. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want Jesus. So all these things, these signs, wonders, miracles, everything he's doing, you know, and it's just powerful. And he gets to a certain point and he talks, you know, he says, listen, it's got a big, huge crowd around him. You know, the crowd's there. And he goes, and let me listen to me. And of course, you can hear Peter like clapping his hands. Okay, guys, listen up. Listen up. Jesus is going to talk here. Jesus is going to talk. You got the tax collector counting everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Hey, we're up 12. We're up 12. We're up 12. We're up 12. Right. I mean, all these things are going on. And then all of a sudden he goes, this is Jesus. He goes, unless you eat my flesh, cut his mic. Cut his mic. We're going to lose the crowd.
Right.
The crowd's
exactly.
going to go.
Exactly.
Jesus. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, he's in lost his mind. Like, can you not hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he said, drink your blood. First of all, we're Jews and we don't have anything to do with blood.
Right. That's unclean.
It's unclean. And drink your blood, a man's blood.
I mean, that's right.
Because they didn't know who he was. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that you can have no part of me. And
that's
all
right.
of a sudden, man, there it goes. Like Peter's going like, great. We finally, and we started off with just a few, and we finally got some people around us the crowd was there. We heard them mooing, and the herd was there, you know, moo. And so with that, you know, they were finally there, and then we finally give Jesus the mic, and when he gets the mic, he sits here and talks about, listen, he's the only way to God, and you're going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, for his flesh is real food, and his blood is real drink. And they're all caught up, and they goes, listen, no. It is not flesh. The flesh counts for nothing.
That's
I'm not
right.
talking to you about flesh. The words I speak to you are spirit.
Mm.
And they all left.
Yep.
Everybody but his crew was there.
That's right.
You know? And they probably were contemplating it,
well,
but they
did
bought
ask,
it.
They, he did ask Peter.
Yeah, he did.
He
did. But they, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and we don't know a reason why Peter said it. You know, where else can I go? He probably he would burn all those bridges. But he said that every one of them, every single one of them. They said, this is a hard teaching. You know, you're expecting way too much from us. It's going to require us. You know, you're demanding me here, Jesus. And they all left. And Jesus did not run after him and go, oh, please, I'm sorry. I'll change my message. Hey, just like take a sip of my blood and a crumb of my bread, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to take all of me. Just take some of me because I want you to be around a little bit, you know. Mm. But the American gospel is the American gospel today. Mm. Across America, this is the gospel. No matter how you encounter Jesus, if you were living there in that time in his ministry, whether you're the one that was healed, whether you're the one that he spoke into your life, whether you're the one that knew him when you were growing up, whether you were the one that was following him in that crowd and eating the bread that was when they divided everybody by the 50s and sat around and they multiplied the bread, or whether you're the one that was there in that huge crowd and you heard that message because you were following him until
right.
he said the price is you. You gotta and all of that, this is what today's gospel says. All those people are saved.
Mm.
That's right.
Because they had an encounter with Jesus.
That's right.
Every
well,
one of them would tell you in America today, they would say every one of those guys are saved.
Yeah. That's what's going on today in the American church. It's a lordship gospel being preached. It's okay to accept them as Savior, but not as Lord, the boss, you know, of our lives. And he was saying, wait a minute, I was with you. I was with you for the blessing. I was with you for the good stuff. What do you mean drink your blood and eat my flesh? You want me to do something? You want to come and lead my life and be in charge of my life? And it's until we surrender and say, you know, he is Savior and Lord. That's boss, king, ruler of my life. And that's the gospel that needs to be preached.
Well, and the whole thing is that I don't know how we divided the kingdom from the king, the lordship from Savior. But, you know, he didn't say go preach salvation. He said go preach the kingdom. And now
kingdom.
We've turned preaching the kingdom into preaching getting saved. Just get in. First of all, get in what? And
exactly.
why did you not bring up, you know, Matthew 6:33? It's confusing me here because you preach salvation, but he told me I got to seek first the kingdom, and you don't even know what the kingdom is. And are you even in the kingdom? And that are you part of the ones that say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach? And people, he's like, but I never knew you. Because if you don't know the kingdom, if you don't know the king, you don't know his kingdom. If you don't know the kingdom, you don't know the king. It's the king's dominion. Lordship means the king has dominion over your life. Perfect? Absolutely not. Aware that you need, desperately need Jesus and the empowerment of his spirit to walk this out? Yes. Knowing that God is more than willing to be able to partner with you or to lead you and understand his grace for that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this fact about preaching, you know, just salvation, you know, that what happens today, just they would think today, you would describe that ministry, those people that encountered Jesus, that they knew Jesus, and it's like, yeah, they're kind of like going through a rough time right now. You know, they got offended with a message that was preached because it was really hard. It required more of them than they
were
willing
to give.
You're
going there. This
and,
is good.
Yeah, they're willing to give. Well, that's what you told me. I'm reading your notes, John. And then, you know, and then, but they would say they're saved. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. Listen, you stand alone before the throne of God. Don't be listening to everybody. Don't go ask somebody, am I saved? Right. You know that you're saved. If you got to ask somebody, do you know Jesus? The answer is no, but you can.
That's right.
Right.
You know, because you stand alone. They're not, whoever you're asking is not going to be there. And if they told you yes, they may never be there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because how could they tell you what you're supposed to know that your own spirit bears witness that is true? You know, you know, the enemy's turned a relationship with Jesus Christ into religion. And so people just look at these religious rules and things, and it's like, I'm doing all this like the rich young ruler did, but he's going to, no, you don't understand. It's going to cost you everything.
Yeah.
And he left them.
Accepting Jesus is not like going on Facebook and doing a like button. You know, it's not as easy as clicking like and keep it moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Didn't you hear something about that? Like if Jesus had a Facebook, who was that?
It was me. If Jesus, we have to get this and put it on the torch. But I saw a video of Jesus had a Facebook, and it's exactly what you were just talking about. The crowds were there, and everyone gathered, and and I love the blessing, and give me more, and you know, I love that message. I love the good news message. But but lordship, and as soon as he started talking about, eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he started getting unlikes, unlikes, unlikes. And one by one.
The Pharisees unfriended me.
Oh.
You know, you don't have to settle for religion. You can truly have an awesome relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. And religion is just hanging around. Oftentimes, Steve Hill says it's hanging around the cross, but religion is getting on the cross. It's following him. It's giving our lives for the one who's ransomed us, who rescued us. There is no other response. Like Peter said, Lord, you know, where else would I go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, and we are going to get back to the 10 things you probably don't know about Google. But the fact is that when the people who were following Jesus walks away from Jesus because he speaks to something that cost them in their flesh, the only thing that was following Jesus was the flesh, because it made no sense, because at that time it's like a shock to them. You're just shocked because, you know, your flesh is not being satisfied. It's not being given what it wants. And I want to apologize to you for, you know, everybody that tried to entice you by your flesh to bring you to Jesus.
Mm.
And now they tell you, you're going to have to die to the very thing that they used to entice you.
Mm, that's so true.
The thing is, you just have to preach the love of God. You know, let them know that he loves you, first of all, and he has a plan for your life. And that and it's an awesome thing, and you can't add to God. I mean, you can't. I mean, you can put a foosball table in if you want to, but you know what I'm saying? You may be distracting people from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can throw games in there, and games are pretty cool, but if you attracted me by my flesh, why do you criticize me because of my flesh?
That's right.
And in the day that I'm going to hear Jesus' words, when somebody is going to come tell me the truth, I'm going to walk away from God, what I perceived I was with God, because you never told me it's going to cost me everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear this message, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. The flesh counts for nothing. It's like, wait a minute. All those years of foosball?
That's right.
All those years of basketball and all the things that we did?
Isn't there a video game here? Isn't there a video game that I'm supposed to get?
Yeah,
or something?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, and you lured me by my flesh, and now the only hope for you to keep a crowd is to keep on feeding the flesh. But the problem is that crowd, unless they know Jesus Christ, you know, I got news for you. It's not going to be good in the end. Right. It's not going to be good in the end, because the message today is all those people that encountered Jesus, no matter what they're doing at that moment, that they're going to be in a better place when they die.
And that's the one biggest lies that's being said out there. You know, every time, you know, I get it. People are trying to console someone, but the truth is like if they didn't want nothing to do with God here, they did not want to spend any time in his word, if they didn't want to follow his ways, you know, they didn't want to go to be amongst the people of God. They said no to church. Right. They said no. Why? Why would you torture them and tell them they are going to be in a better place?
Wouldn't that be terrible, you know, that they denied them here and then God's going to force them to be with them there? I mean, it's not going to happen.
What do you think they're going to be doing there? I mean,
you're right. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're always with Jesus here. Is there some other place in heaven you can go to? It's like, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. And it's this bride that's longing for the bridegroom.
That's
it's this desperate longing for our Lord and our Savior. And he's awesome, by the way. Let me tell you something. Despite what your flesh may be stimulated by and all these different things, and despite the message being promulgated across the land that if you encountered Jesus somewhere, if you went to some authentic encounter with an authentic Jesus somewhere, but then you walked away from him, you need to turn back to him.
Right.
Don't say everything's okay. If you're living in adultery, if the Lord was come back today, you're not going.
You're not
going to be there. You know, if you once walked with God, this is Ezekiel 33, and we'll talk more about that. But you know, you did all these righteous deeds and you did what was right, but you turn your back on God. You turn your back on God, and this is what he says in Ezekiel. He says, no matter what you did was right, it will not be remembered.
Mm.
But let me, I got good news for you. If you were wicked up to that point, which is immoral and doing all these things, and just totally just worst case scenario, and you go, here I am, God, I want you. Forgive me. I want you to make you the Lord of my life. He says he will remember not one wicked thing. Isn't that awesome?
Mm. Yes.
That's why I love
him. Yeah,
right.
Like,
hello.
I'm telling you, so good. It's just like, but you only win if you choose Jesus.
That's right.
Make him the Lord of your life. So I want to encourage you today. Don't listen to those and get crowd up with those who, when they refuse to lay their pick up their cross and deny themselves to follow Jesus, which he says, you will not have no part of me. You know, don't hang with that, you know, or witness to them and let them know it's going to cost you everything. Your salvation is free, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And it's a small price to pay for eternity with God. You know what I'm saying?
He's truly enough, right?
Oh my goodness. How could you add to him? We'll be right back. There's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God
And if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. Right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're getting back. We're about to close. We're going to get for the first hour.
Wow.
The 10 things that, this is on the torch. I'm looking at the torch right now. The VFN torch, you can get to it at VFNTV.com, but the just freshly put on the torch is 10 surprising facts about Google you might not know. And it just talks about some interesting thing. Google is actually a misspelling of the word that actually is a number, which is Googal or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably Gorgal. And I was saying originally, you know, we were talking, we understood what we were doing when we did it, but we're going to be able to win a few. The reason why they said, Paul, you know, don't go to Rome. You go to Rome, they're going to imprison you. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I might win a few. I might win some of them. And you got to go where the people are to be able to win them. That's why we're here for you in VFN TV, the data radio program. But one thing that you can find on there, and you can find this at the torch, is their very first, the owners, the founders make no, they have no problem letting people know that they attended the Burning Man ceremony out in the desert. And the Burning Man ceremony, you know, is it's a week-long annual event held at Black Rock Desert in northern Nevada in the United States. The event begins on the last Monday in August and ends, which is pretty interesting, on the first Monday in September, which coincides with the America's Labor Day. The 2012 Burning Man Festival is, they talk about it's coming up, reading off of Wikipedia here, but they actually have a burning idol that they dance around, and it's like a stick man. And the very first doodle on Google, like a little drawing doodle, was the Burning Man. The very first thing they've ever put up behind the word Google, and you can see this on the torch right now, was a stick man. And we also have a picture of the Burning Man, the stick man that they put together in the wilderness. And just like we talked about with Simon Cowell or Simon the Sorcerer, you can find this out in Sorcerer in the torch, that where he sacrificed, it looks like these boys, you know, by putting the blood on them and that type of thing, that it looks like, you know, that they sold out the way that Satan tried to get Jesus to sell. I'll give you all this wealth. I'll give you all this power if you worship me. But the very first thing that they chose right there is the Burning Man. So you can go on there, look for it. It is called 10 Surprising Facts About Google You Don't Know. There's some other pretty interesting things, but understand this: their original vision statement was to be able to access all information at any time on any device right where you are. And that was a big vision statement back then. But now they have over 1 million servers in the world. They own about 2.7% of all the servers, I believe it is. Or maybe, 2.7% of the servers in the world. And they're gathering all that data, just gathering and gathering and gathering. realize this. God was already aware of it. It's time for the church to come out and fight. You can find out more at bfntv.com. Also, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Make sure you join us in the extra hour today. Pat, John, and myself would love to have you with us. For those that can't join us, God bless and have a wonderful day. VFN Radio, VFNTV.com.